The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is Happy Thanksgiving, Curious George. And as you all know, this is November, and it's Thanksgiving month. Thanksgiving comes towards the end of the month. So today we're going to read a story about Curious George, the curious little monkey, and about Thanksgiving. You remember the man in the yellow hat? Well, anyways, it's called Happy Thanksgiving, Curious George. This is Thanksgiving Day. Curious George wakes up in the morning. Something smells quite nice. He knows for sure he wants some, a piece, a smidge, a slice. He rushes to the kitchen, and there he sees the man with yellow hat and apron and a turkey in the pan. The turkey's in the oven. It takes some time to cook, but every now and then, George can't help but take a look. The parade, there's always a Thanksgiving parade, before Thanksgiving usually. Horns blow loud, drums beat low. The parade is here, oh my! George loves to hear the music as the band comes marching by. Way up high in the sky, look, a giant bear. George just loves the big balloons that float as light as air. Circus clown upside down, and acrobats galore. A tumbler, a juggler, with balls. 1, 2, 3, 4, monkey see, monkey do. George likes the juggling man. He jumps right in and juggles as only monkeys can do. There's George, who's taken the balls from the juggler, and he is juggling them with three balls in the air with his two hands and one with his foot. Craft fun. Crayons, paper, scissors, some glitter, and some glue. George is now quite ready to make a craft or two. A handprint makes a turkey with feathers oh so sleek. It has many colors and a pointy little beak. Have you ever done that in school? You take a pencil and a piece of paper and draw around your hand and color the fingers like the turkey feathers and your thumb like a turkey head, and then the body as a turkey is the palm of your hand. Anyway, some autumn leaves are needed to make the house look fine. George uses bright, fun paper and strings them on a line. A tall black hat for George with brim and buckle too. George makes a hat that's yellow, a gift for you know who. Setting the table. Laying down the tablecloth, flowers everywhere, a special treat for all their guests. A turkey on each chair, and there are all the turkeys that George made. Knives and forks and napkins, and don't forget the spoons. The table must be ready before the clock strikes noon. Now hang those pretty strings of leaves around the room with care. Oh my, they must get cooking. The guests will soon be here. In the kitchen. Carrots slice, turnips dice, and oh, those string beans look so nice. Apple pie, pumpkin pie, so many tasty treats to try. Biscuits bake, spicy cake, and mashed potatoes, too, still to make. Turkey's done. So much fun. Doorbell's ringing. Have to run. The balancing act. The man comes in the kitchen. It's almost time to eat. He brings the dishes one by one as guests all take their seat. George is ever curious. Could he carry more? Using monkey feet and hands, 1, 2, 3, or 4, George takes the golden ears of corn, the turnips in his grip. He quickly adds the biscuits, but the basket starts to slip. Biscuits tumble through the air. George dashes left and right. He catches each delicious piece. What an amazing sight. He catches the corn cobs. He catches the biscuits, and they land back in his basket. And saying thanks. The turkey's on the table. George has a happy grin. But there's something they want to do before they can dig right in. Let's talk about Thanksgiving. Oh, yes, Thanksgiving Day. So what are you most thankful for? The question goes round. For home and health and family, so many seasons found. We're thankful for Thanksgiving. Oh, yes, Thanksgiving Day. George knows what he is thankful for. The man gives him a smile. And then George says he's thankful in happy monkey style. They're thankful for each other. Oh, yes, Thanksgiving Day. And here's the family around the table, and everyone's holding hands, saying what they're thankful for. And there's George the monkey. He's so excited, he's jumping up and down in his seat because he can't wait to eat all that delicious food. Our next story is The Tale of Peter Rabbit by Beatrix Potter. This is a very famous story, and I loved this story when I was growing up. Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits, and their names were Flopsy, Mopsy, Cottontail, and Peter. They lived with their mother in a big sandbank underneath the root of a very big fir tree. "Now, my dear," said old Mrs. Rabbit one morning, "you may go into the fields or down the lane, but don't go into Mr. McGregor's garden. Your father had an accident there. He was put in a pie by Mrs. McGregor. Uh-oh. Now run along and don't get into mischief. I am going out." Then old Mrs. Rabbit took a basket and her umbrella and went through the wood to the baker's. She bought a loaf of brown bread and 5 currant buns. Flopsy, Mopsy, and Cottontail were good little bunnies, and they went down the lane together to gather blackberries. But Peter, who was very naughty, ran straight away to Mr. McGregor's garden and squeezed under the gate. Now first he ate some lettuces and some French beans, and then he ate some radishes. Uh-oh. Lost my pace, sorry. Here we go. And then, feeling rather sick, he went to look for some parsley, because parsley was supposed to be good for sick tummies. But round the end of a cucumber frame, who should he meet but Mr. McGregor? Mr. McGregor was on his hands and knees planting out young cabbages, but he jumped up and ran after Peter, waving a rake and calling out, "Stop, thief!" Peter was most dreadfully frightened. He rushed all over the garden, for he had forgotten the way to get back to the gate. He lost one of his shoes among the cabbages and another shoe among the potatoes. After losing them, he ran on all 4 legs and went faster, so that I think he might have got away altogether if he had not unfortunately run into a gooseberry net and got caught by the large buttons on his jacket. It was a blue jacket with brass buttons, quite new. Peter gave himself up for lost and shed some big tears, but his sobs were overheard by some friendly sparrows who flew in to him in great excitement and implored him to exert himself. Mr. McGregor came up with a net, which he intended to pop upon the top of Peter, but Peter wriggled out just in time, leaving his jacket behind him. He lost his new blue jacket with brass buttons, and he lost his shoes. And Peter rushed into the tool shed and jumped into a can. It would have been a beautiful thing to hide in if it had not had so much water in it. He had jumped into a watering can. Mr. McGregor was quite sure that Peter was somewhere in the tool shed, perhaps hidden underneath a flower pot. He began to turn them over carefully, looking under each. Presently, Peter sneezed. Ka-choo! Mr. McGregor was after him in no time and tried to put his foot upon Peter, who jumped out of the window, upsetting 3 plants. The windows was too small for Mr. McGregor, and he was tired of running after Peter. He went back to his work. Peter sat down to rest. He was out of breath and trembling in fright, and he had not the least idea of which way to go. Also, he was very damp with sitting in that can. After a time, he began to wander about, going lippity-lippity, not very fast, and looking all around. he found a door in the wall. In a wall, but it was locked, and there was no room for a fat little rabbit to squeeze underneath. An old mouse came running in and out over the doorstep, carrying peas and beans to her family in the woods. In the wood, Peter asked her the way to the gate, but she had such a large pea in her mouth that she could not answer. She only shook her head at him. Peter began to cry. Then he tried to find his way straight across the garden, but he became more and more puzzled. Presently he came to a pond where Mr. McGregor filled his watering cans. A white cat was staring at some goldfish. She sat very, very still, but now and then the tip of her tail twitched as if it were alive. Peter thought it was best to go away without speaking to her. He had heard about her cats from his cousin, Little Benjamin Bunny. Little Benjamin Bunny had not had a good time with Cat. He went back towards the tool shed, but suddenly, quite close to him, he heard the noise of a hoe. Scratch, 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 scratch. Peter scuttered under the bushes, but presently, as nothing happened, he came out and climbed under a wheelbarrow and peeped over. Excuse me, he climbed upon a wheelbarrow and peeped over. The first thing he saw was Mr. McGregor again, hoeing the onions. His back turned towards Peter, and beyond him was the gate. Peter got down very quietly off the wheelbarrow and started running as fast as he could go, along a straight walk behind some black currant bushes. Mr. McGregor caught sight of him at the corner, but Peter did not care. He slipped under the gate and was safe at last in the woods outside the garden. Mr. McGregor hung up the little jacket and the shoes for a scarecrow to frighten away the blackbirds who had picked the seeds out of the ground. Peter never stopped running or looked behind him until he got home to the big fir tree. He was so tired that he flopped down upon the nice soft sand on the floor of the rabbit hole and shut his eyes. His mother was busy cooking. She wondered what he had done with his clothes. It was a second little jacket and pair of shoes that Peter had lost in the last 2 weeks. I am sorry to say that Peter was not very well during the evening. His mother put him to bed and made him some chamomile tea, and she gave a dose of it to Peter, 1 tablespoonful to be taken at bedtime. But Flopsy, Mopsy, and Cottontail had bread and milk and blackberries for supper. Poor Peter, he didn't get any blackberries or any fresh bread and milk to have for supper. He was sick to his tummy. He had eaten too much in Mr. McGregor's garden. And now I'm going to read you a book called The Grinny Granny Donkey by Craig Smith. It's a very, very silly sort of song, except I'm not going to sing it. There was a sweet donkey who lived on the heath. She was so funny with her false teeth. Hee-haw! But her teeth kept falling out. She was a clunky donkey. Poor Granny. There was a sweet donkey who lived on the heath. She was so funny with her false teeth. Hee-haw! But her teeth kept falling out. She loved to sip her favorite brew and dunk her cookies in it. She was a donkey, drinky, clunky donkey. There she is, drinking her tea and dipping her cookie into it. There was a sweet donkey who lived on the heath. She was so funny with her false teeth. Hee-haw! But her teeth kept falling out. She loved to sip her favorite brew and dunk her biscuits in it and fall asleep in the afternoon sun. She was a zonky, donkey drinky, clunky donkey. There was a sweet donkey who lived on the heath. She was so funny with her false teeth. Hee-haw! But her teeth kept falling out. She loved to sip her favorite brew and dunk her biscuits in it, too, and fall asleep in the afternoon sun, and then go to sleep with her jewelry on. She was a clinky, clanky, zonky, drunky, drinky, clunky donkey. And there's the granny donkey with green glasses on. And she had earrings in each ear that looked like little snails. and she had a big necklace of red and orange beads around her neck and another necklace with green beads on it. And she was very proud of her jewelry. There was a sweet donkey who lives on the heath. She was so funny with her false teeth. Hee-haw! But her teeth kept falling out. She loved to sip her favorite brew and dunk her biscuits in it, too, and fall asleep in the afternoon sun and go for walks with her jewelry on. And she always dressed very smartly. She was a swanky, clinky, clanky, zonky, dunky, drinky, clunky donkey. And then there was a sweet donkey who lived on the heath. She was so funny with her false teeth. Hee-haw! But her teeth kept falling out. She loved to sip her favorite brew and dunk her biscuits in it, too, and fall asleep in the afternoon sun, go for walks with her jewelry on, dress smartly, and she played her banjo to relax. She was a plunky, plinky, swanky, clinky, clanky, zonky, dunky, dunky, drinky, clunky, donkey. My goodness. There was a sweet donkey who lived on the heath. She was so funny with her false teeth, but her teeth kept falling out. Hee-haw! She loved to sip her favorite brew and dunk her biscuits in it, too, fall asleep in the afternoon sun, go for walks with her jewelry on, dress smartly, and play her banjo to relax. But if she hadn't had a visit from her family in a while, she would sometimes get grumpy and cranky. She was a cranky, clunky, plinky, swanky, clinky, clanky, zonky, dunky, drinky, clunky, donkey. So she's looking really cranky and angry here because she was lonesome for her family. There was a sweet donkey who lived on the heath. She was so funny with her false teeth. Hee-haw! But her teeth kept falling out. She loved to sip her favorite brew, dunk her biscuits in it too, fall asleep in the afternoon sun, go to walks for walks with her jewelry on, dress smartly, play her banjo to relax. And sometimes she got grumpy and cranky when her son, Wonky, turned up with her cute granddaughter, Dinky. That cranky granny donkey got so many cuddles and kisses that she couldn't get that smile off her face for weeks. She was a grinny granny, plunky, plinky, swanky, clinky, clunky, zonky, dunky, drinky, clunky, trank, donkey. There was a grinny granny who lived on the heath. She smiled so much you could see her false teeth. Hee-haw! And that's the end of a very silly but very sweet story. Our next book is called Preschool Here I Come, and it's by D.J. Steinberg. And I know many of you might be in preschool still, although some of you might be in kindergarten or even first grade. But this one is called Preschool Here I Come. Two hugs and a kiss. Preschool Here I Come. It's my first ever day. Mommy gives me two hugs and a kiss and promises to stay. There's his mommy, taking her little boy by the hand and taking him into preschool. My teacher takes me by the hand. Come, meet everyone. She shows me all around the room. This place sure looks like fun. There are tables for drawing and playing, so I find myself a chair. And that's when I remember I left Mommy sitting there. I check to see if she's all right. I tell her not to cry. But I think it's time to send her home. With two hugs and a kiss goodbye. Preschool rules. We do not grab, we do not throw, no pulling, hair, or biting. We do not yell, we do not scream, we don't do kung fu fighting. We use our words, we always share, we never push or run. But my most favorite rule of all is the one that says, have fun! Washing hands. We start each day by washing hands. We start our day by washing hands. By washing hands each day. We wash away the icky germs, the sneezy germs, the sicky germs, So if you are a squirmy germ, I'm happy to explain that we start each day by washing our hands to wash you, germ, down the drain. Dino dig. Sand between my fingers, sand between my toes. Digging in the sandbox. What's this? A dino nose? A dino neck? A dino tail? I dig, dig, dig some more. Look what I dug up. A polka dotty dinosaur. Mixing colors. Now he's the little boy's painting. Mix blue and red. What do you get? A pretty purple moose. Mix red and yellow. What do you get? An ocean of orange juice. Mix yellow and blue, and what do you get? A great green monster truck. Mix those colors all together, and you get the color yuck. That's funny, isn't it? So many paintings. We make so many paintings, and everyone wants to see them, so we hang them all around the room. It's like our own museum. Newsflash. I found out our teacher has children. Can you believe that's actually true? Whoever knew that teachers can be mummies and daddies too? Pumpkin Day. We're learning all about seasons, and the one we're in is autumn. Today's our preschool pumpkin day. That's why the whole class brought 'em. We pile up the pumpkins. Some are little, some are plumpish. Some are big and some are skinny, some are smooth and some are lumpish. To finish off our pumpkin fun, we set out orange dishes and serve up pumpkin cupcakes, which are pumpkin-y delicious. The animal bus. I was putting the animals in their bus. Along came Russ. He took my bus. Hey, give it back. No, that's my bus. The teacher came. Now, what's the fuss? There's just one bus and two of us. I want that bus, and so does Russ. The teacher smiled and said to us, so what do you think is fair? Russ looked at me. I looked at Russ. I guess maybe we can share. Punching bag. We have a punching bag for when you want to kick and shout. You can punch, punch, punch it till you punch your angries out. There's a little girl punching the punching bag. She's obviously mad at something, but that's the way she's getting her angries out. Music time. What instrument will you play today? Everyone gets to pick. How about a tambourine, a cowbell with a clickety-clack stick? Maybe try a cymbal, or better, try out two. You can shake a maraca or toot-toot a kazoo. We play along with boom-bang-bang to make our teacher proud. I don't know what song we're playing, but we play it loud, loud, loud. I can spell my name. I've known my name since forever. Just ask me and I'll tell it. But today is the first day in my life that I know how to spell it. My snowman. I made a holiday snowman out of cotton balls and felt. It's the best thing, and the best thing about my snowman is that he'll never, ever melt. This is called Horses in the Gym. We pretend the gym is a racetrack, and everyone here is a horse. As soon as we hear the whistle blow, we gallop around the course, between the chairs and over the cones, to the finish line. Hooray! Then all us preschool horses give a great big horsey neigh! Story time for teddy bears. I took a book down off the shelf, since bears like stories too. I read it to them by myself, just like our teachers do. Those bears don't know that I can't read. It's just, I'm really smart. I've heard that book so many times, I know it all by heart. And this is called Dress Up. Look at me, I'm a firefighting cowboy wizard doctor Viking dragon, because I love all of these costumes that are in our dress-up wagon. And there he is with all these, a cowboy hat on, and a glove to be, I don't know what, a wizard and a doctor, let's see what else, a firefighting guy and a dragon. Does he ever look silly? He needs to pick just one, doesn't he? Parent pickup. When playtime is over, the pickup bell rings. We go to our cubbies and gather our things. Our grown-ups are back because they all miss us. I know it because of the way that they kiss us. We show them the things that we made. Ta-da! We tell them the things that we learned. Ooh-ah! We all wave goodbye as we scoot out the door. And tomorrow we'll be back for more. Caterpillar Cup. For spring, our class got caterpillars. They live inside a cup. We brought them lots of leaves to eat and sticks to wiggle up. These guys are up to something. Look, each one made a cocoon. They're planning a big surprise for us. Teacher says we'll find out soon. Fly away. We found out when we came to school today. We couldn't believe our eyes. Remember those caterpillars? Well, now they're butterflies. Those little guys grew flappy wings, and now they want to play. And so we take them out to the playground and say, "Butterflies, fly away." Graduation. It's graduation. The grown-ups all clap at the end of the show that we start in. Then we turn to our friends as our preschool year ends and shouts out, "See you in kindergarten." Our last story today is called Bedtime for Peppa. And this is about Peppa Pig. One evening, Peppa and George are finishing their dinner. It's almost bedtime, but the little piggies are not sleepy. "Can we play outside for just a tiny bit?" Peppa asks. "All right," says Daddy Pig, "but you both must come in when we call you for your bath." Peppa and George go outside to play one last game before bedtime. "Look, George," cries Peppa, "lots of muddy puddles." Peppa and George like jumping into the up and down in muddy puddles, and they both get really mucky. "Peppa, George," calls Daddy Pig, "bath time." Peppa and George run home in their muddy boots. "Squish, squish, squish, squash. We found the biggest muddy puddle in the world," cries Peppa. "Are you and George feeling..." So they both hop in the tub, of course, because they're so mucky. "Are you and George feeling sleepy yet?" asks Daddy Pig. "No," says Peppa. "We are not even a tiny bit sleepy." Both before bedtime, George and Peppa like splashing in the bathtub. "Hey ho, that's enough splashing," says Daddy Pig, "into your pajamas. Can't we stay in the bath a little longer?" "Bath time is over," says Daddy Pig. Before going to bed, Peppa and George brush their teeth. "Brush, brush, brush. Okay, that's not enough brushing. But I think our teeth need a little bit more cleaning," said Peppa. Snort. When you're in bed, Daddy Pig will read you a story Mommy tells him. When Peppa goes to bed, she always had her teddy tucked in. When George goes to bed, he always has Mr. Dinosaur tucked in with him. So they need lots of stories, they say, and unfortunately, now's the time to finish up. For today, we've run out of time for Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.